Christmas, everybody. You can have the chat. If you can't hear me, you can use the chat and you can wait a few minutes. Otherwise, we'll start. I think what we'll do for opening prayer is we'll say it all together, but with your muted mics, you can just say it along with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, Dearest Mother, Saints and Sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple, make my heart thy altar, make my love thy home. Be thou the only King, reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Om. Peace, bliss, amen. I'm going to meditate for a few minutes.
Just
For my Bible reading this morning, I'd like to read from the Gospel of St. Luke, starting with chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And yet they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until that day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month for her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And from a talk of mothers, I can find it. This is a talk that Mother gave called Christmas Service on December 14th, 1960. And so some of these, this was when she was still going through many experiences. But I find very interesting how she tells this story that we heard many times over the years. In all the revelations that had come to me, there is one that stands out in my mind very, very vitally. I had been shown all of these wonders that had been and that were to come during the last half of this cycle, when all must go back to God. I had experienced within myself the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of Jesus the Christ within. I had experienced many things, the transition from the physical to the subtle body, the transfer of the heart from the left to the right, in order that I might have wisdom. Each time I would get something like this, it would seem to come about 12 o'clock at night. And I remember this one night so well because I'd get these things in great pain. And I woke up screaming. And I tried to get out of my bed, and Father had to help me like he always did. Excuse me. And I was taken into the other room where there was a lamp hanging. And it seemed as though I saw the cross there in this lamp in the way that it was shown. God said to me, I have shown you and you have experienced the birth and death of the Christ within yourself. But there's one thing that I want you to remember always, and that is the universal God, the universal Christ, who came to save all men from sin, to lift them up. Jesus the Christ actually lived. He was a man who became one with God, who became Christ, the anointed one, the King of the Jews. For surely he was. Because as we come out of the land of Egypt within our beings, we ascend into Judea or Jerusalem. And Christ came from the Jews. These are the spiritual people of the earth. And it was meant that he should be king of all. Because he, all of them, went through this one terrific experience. I think because of all them, he went through this experience. Ramakrishna started at the middle, and he pursued every single religious path, and only to find the same God, the Father, at the end of each. No matter which techniques he used, which rituals he used, which creeds, it didn't make any difference, and I was shown that Master came to bring all the pieces of the religion, or the pieces of the pie, back together again, to unify them, that truly he also had the consciousness of the Christ. Every Christmas was a very special occasion for Master, and on the 24th, all the days of his life, with us here on this continent, he spent the day in meditation with all of those who would meditate with him. And the vibrations that came in that place were beyond human conception. And he used to pray to God, O Lord, reveal thyself, Christ come to me. Because you see, in the beginning, man is in material consciousness. Then gradually he develops into the mental state, and he begins to read and to conceive of some idea of the consciousness of the Christ. And gradually his spirit is lifted up. And he has a tremendous longing in his heart to know God, to know the Christ, to follow him. Many say that you are saved because they have accepted this Christ as their Savior. But this saving is just the beginning of the path, because in order to be saved, you must truly pick up your cross and follow the Christ, if you would be his disciple. And this means to emulate him in every single instance of his life and of yours. It is a wonderful thing to feel this consciousness. The Christ was a tremendous gift of God. You see, as I have told you before, this sacred fluid which carries the Christ seed, the mystic seed within yourself, comes from the sacred claustrum, or Santa Claus. That is where the name Santa Claus originated, Saint Claus. But it seems that there was a saint, and he was called Saint Nicholas, and gradually he's come to be known as Old Saint Nick down through the centuries, who, instead of concentrating completely on the spiritual gifts that were to be received, instigated the idea of giving material gifts. Now, this is wonderful because there are many poor, hungry people who have very, very little. And if we can show them the Christ spirit at this particular time, it is a wonderful thing. But Christmas has come to be commercialized, and this should not be. Christmas really is for the little children, because Christmas Day honors the birth of the Christ child. And yet sometimes we forget to pay any attention to the little children opening their gifts under the tree. We forget to give them the gifts of God, of Christ, of the Spirit, the things that will make them into great men and women. So one of Mother's great insights and great revelations was that the Kundalini, talked about in the East, was presented in the West in the very striking symbolism of the Christ on the cross. When Ramana Maharshi first saw it, or at least had commented about the idea of a Christ on a cross, what we call the crucifix as opposed to the cross, he immediately recognized it as the death of the ego, that he was the Son of Man, and that this was a necessary thing to go through. He had gone through very difficult times himself personally, great privation and pain and being left in underneath a temple in Tiruvannamalai for, I think, several years, and hardly had normal consciousness. So though we may think, oh, that sounds like a good ascetic thing to do, it's very, very difficult to go through these experiences. And the steadfastness is what makes the saint, because to get through these experiences is really, really hard, and many people decide they can wait till another lifetime to finish it. We are all in that same school. We are all in a position where we don't know whether we want to go that direction, whether we want to go for that complete circuit. Now, this world was created by God, and there's the idea that this is all due to God's bliss, to Ananda. This is what this is supposed to be. It's an enchantment rather than an area of delusion or a place of delusion. Ananda really means enchantment. It's something that draws you to this world. And because we're on the way, most of us who are having difficulties or seeing the difficult side in the world the way that it is today, there are many people who don't. They revel in this world, and some of the saints compare them to a worm in the mud, much preferring the mud. And when you take them out of the mud, they don't like it, and they squirm, and they want to get back into it. So these are different levels of consciousness, and many times people, as they're going into the higher planes, have dismissive ways of talking about different states. So it is not necessarily always to be seen as this darkness. And Papa said this is the world is God. Now, he said that the world is exactly as God presented it, is exactly as God intended it. It's exactly reflecting his will. And that's difficult for us because we think we know what perfection is. I recently had a person who knew Mother fairly well, even as a child, mention to me that she knew Mother wasn't perfect because Mother was worried about her weight. And so, obviously, a person who was a saint wouldn't be worried about their weight. So, thinking about that afterwards, something came up to me that I had thought about before. And I talk with Christians over the years many times, and a similar thing. They think that God made the Bible, and it's perfect because God did it. But I always try to point out, God made the world. Is it perfect? I mean, in a way, this person who thinks they know what divinity is and what perfection is in God, I mean, they should be a saint themselves to be able to speak with any authority on the issue. But most of us have an idea, clearly, on what would be right in this world and what is not. Papa says the world is God. It's exactly the way God is expressing himself. I've been moving away from the idea that God has purpose and into a notion that God expresses himself. It may look in hindsight like he had purpose. There may be purpose in what he says and what he does. I don't know that we need to worry about that. I mean, so many of the saints try to teach us to stay in the now and into focusing on what's going before us at the moment, to stay focused on God, to keep God on our minds all the time. Well, really, if you do that, you can't think of the future or the past. So we have to just live in the position, in the predicament that God has placed us and that we have earned. And those are not different. They're exactly the same thing. We've earned this position that we are in, and don't forget, it is a very lofty position to be in human form on the earth. Many souls try to get here. Meher Baba said that the purpose of the earth, the intention of the creation of the physical plane, was made completely manifest in man. That was the end result, was the development of man here. And I really have felt strongly that that is why we are different than the animals, and why we don't lord it over the animals. We have no right to do that. We don't own them. And we don't lord it over land. We don't lord it over other people. But we are God's intended. It is a natural expression that comes in this plane as close to his expression of the image and likeness of God. What other thing Mother did that was very unusual? And so it's interesting to read this 1960 talk of Mother's, because she clearly had this from the deepest travails of her experience at an Anandashram. Because that's, and coming out of that, it took her a couple years. I know in talking to Barbara, her daughter, that Mother had a number of years where she was still very angry with Papa, or saying completely unable to come out into the normal world. And some of her family members were quite disappointed in being around her. But by 1960, she's telling stories of things that happened in from a point of view of complete gratitude to Papa and to Master for giving her what she had at that time. It was tremendous, and she knew it. And she knew that it was a unique revelation. And Master definitely wanted to bring all the pieces together of all the disparate ideas of religion. So the fact that Mother connected Kundalini and crucifixion is, I think, standalone is a fantastic revelation. And you have to go through the experience to know what that means. The things that Mother brought forth from that experience were even more remarkable, because she paid a larger price, and from that price that she paid, she pulled more of the deeper meanings of the gospel in the Christian world. Aligned with the Eastern ways a little better, and brought these pieces together. The Sufis have it in the Muslim world. They have a lot of teachings about these higher planes too. But to have the story of Joseph and Mary be the way that Mother describes it, be a depiction, an allegory of this, is really striking, is really quite, I know it's difficult for Christians to accept. But I would point out that in India, they accept both the Mahabharata and the Ramayana as mostly allegorical. And so the idea that the scriptures are not the literal word of God is not fought over so much. I know there's fundamentalists there who do, but there's much broader understanding and still great differences and great distinctions between what the beliefs are there. But one thing that can tie them together is things like this, where you do a syncretistic combination of things and seeing this commonality. I think Ramana Maharshi's recognizing what Jesus was depicting immediately was completely lost on people, the Western people who were steeped in that religion at that time. So the idea that Mother could bring a story of what's going on chemically, and the colostrum, the Joseph, the Mary gland, the secretions from these glands, which bring the seed down through the system. In the story of the Ramayana, the Rama goes down into the forest, which is into the body. He starts in Ayodhya, which is the place of Jerusalem. It's the place of the milk and honey, which is the two glands put out a milk-like and a honey-like substance. And that's the highest plane, the Garden of Eden. He's pushed out into the forest, and then a part of him, his wife Sita, is taken from him, and he is completely stretched into the lower plains, into Sri Lanka, which in the Christian means Christian world is kind of like Egypt. It is, as Mother always said, going into the lower plains. It's into the lowest chakra. And you're held captive there until the death of Herod. And the sexual release of the sexual addiction is the mark of the release of the of Sita, as the release of the consciousness from the base spine. And that's a remarkable explanation for Herod, because we know from history that Herod was probably, I think, already dead at 0 AD or 1 AD. So it's not likely that he was the one who was actually depicted correctly, at least in the dates that we are using presently. But that he was a symbolic meaning something to them symbolically, like Sri Lanka was meant to the Indians at the time that Ramayana was written. The Mahabharata is much more complex, many more creatures, many more people, much more complicated story. But Master spent a great deal of time in through teachings from Sri Yukteswar, and so did Lahir Mahasya. And this was a way of handling written scriptures for these great saints to explain them. Fairy tales are good for people if it does good things. If it makes you want to kill the Jews in your neighborhood, that's not such a good thing. And it really comes down to the correct understanding to straighten that all out. But I think Jesus really came at a time during the Kali Yuga where his insistence that we not only not fight, but that we turn the other cheek, was a way of telling people, at least on the spiritual path, the saintly people, those who want to make an improvement in the world, to turn the other cheek and to handle things differently because of what we had to go through. And it took many, many years through the Dark Ages that we've come out of it. And as a result of that, we had two of the worst world wars probably in history. End of it. At least on that scale. So Jesus was a man of peace. We have the Bible, and we have the Quran, and we have these battles in the Battle of Kurukshetra, and we have the Ramayana battles. Jesus did teach something different from what was going on in the Bible. There was much bloodshed in the Old Testament. And there was only one bloodshed. That's the key takeaway from the story of the Christ. The Mother is insistent that it is the journey of each soul. And that's why it's personal. That's why you have to keep your mind on God. That's why you have to turn your other cheek, because you are to turn away from the world. You are to turn for your resources in the dilemma of getting through this lifetime, but also that which we've set our feet on the path of, the road to Golgotha, the road to the skull, to the town of Jerusalem, to the city of Jerusalem, the land of milk and honey. So Kate and I are trying to get a book on the mystical crucifixion going, as some of you know, most of you know. And it's been a tough slog. It's a huge body of work. There's much repetition. There's many different ways of saying these things that Mother is teaching. Kate's doing almost all the work herself. And she reads me things in assembling it. We're struggling with just putting chapters together and not knowing how we'll assemble them in order. But one thing we have learned is that chapters tend to stand on their own. And there's a way to weave these things with large blocks as best we can of mother's talks on a particular subject. I've been pushing to have the story of the Eucharist and the story of the circuit that mother describes here early, so people get an idea that this is not just a regular dictionary on mysticism or metaphysics. It's not just a reference book. It's an explanation of what we are up against and what all souls. It's a herald of a place to come where people, as they go through these experiences, have a teaching that will finally make sense and will bring all the love for the Christian world and no reason to turn away from your religion you're born in. Master said this was the church of all religions, and though the SRF has changed things greatly in that regard, it's still a very universal teaching. But we should be able to bring all of our teachings into this path and take from Mother what is proper. But it's obviously Mother's is for the West. She's a Western woman. She was specifically taught inwardly and brought to this state where she could be able to go through this with Papa's help through her great, great master. The fountainhead of all that we see that is of the highest spiritual attainment, the highest spiritual teachings that we have in the West. This was the goal of Babaji and Jesus, Hiri Mahasaya, Sri Yukteswar and Master. Mother is, I won't say the only fruit, but it is a clear intended fruit of the large blossoming tree that Master brought into fruition, that Master brought into being by himself, single-handedly, against incredible odds. And all we can see is his smiling face. All we can see is this smile or the look on his face of Bhava, of a samadhi of Bhava in the higher samadhis. He was a perfect master. Still with us now. So the mystical crucifixion is coming along. I don't know if this is going to be done by us. We don't really know if it'll be 100 years before something gets done. But Mother always, almost in the early days that I was with her, for my early days, she talked about her book a lot. And she stopped somewhere in the early 80s mentioning it as much, if I'm not right, as we listened to talks. And so it's always been in my mind that this is an important work. And I always expected her to do it. And I always expected David to do it, to put it out. But we shouldn't fail to realize that we can do only that which God puts before us. We can do what we can each day and live with the results that we of our procrastination. Mother used to say she was a great procrastinator. That makes me feel better, I suppose. But David, too. And now, David, what was going on with him and was such a Herculean task, and we have Carla to thank for, the nuts and bolts of that, was getting all of Mother's words and all of her talks transcribed. And so David always held it in his mind that we needed to do these things first. He needed to have a full grasp of most of Mother's work. It didn't have to be 100%, but he was reaching for 80 or 90%, and Carla got that done. I'm not exactly sure where we stand, and we have a lot of reviewing to do, but I would suspect it's over 80% of the words were transcribed, and it's certainly well under enough for what we're trying to do, what we need to do. So, look, I'd like to turn it over to any questions people have and have a little come back and forth in conversation. And I learned a really nice little trick with Zoom this morning. While you're muted, if you hold your space bar down on your computer, it will unmute you. And then when you lift your finger up, it mutes you back. So you can just step into a conversation, hold the space bar down, and talk like you do with a little, walkie-talkies. You can hold the space bar down, talk, and then lift the space bar, and you're muted again. So that will help with too much over-talking on people. And also that way you can go back to a muted form so that if there's noise in your background, it'll be easier for the rest of us. So feel free to ask some questions or to bring up subjects that interest you. At the end of this, we'll listen to Ave Maria and Silent Night and close with that.
Larry?
Yes.
It sounds like the topic of the mystical crucifixion must be a very big one. You know, if you're writing a book on it, or you're trying to gather, are you trying to gather all mothers' different references to the mystical crucifixion?
Right. We decided early on, this was David's request and what he always intended, that we would only use mother's words. We wouldn't have any asides or any, you know, editor's notes and coaching from the side, which there's room for that, and there could be a book at a later time. But mother's she covers things quite well. So, yes, every single thing is from one of mother's talks. Portions are taken from different talks and assembled into either a chapter or a part of a chapter on a given subject. But yes, it's all mother, and we were able to say that at the beginning, in the introduction.
Larry, and Kate could answer this as well. I'm curious about the process that you're using personally to get yourself into that place where you can do this work.
Well, you know, it takes you into this work takes you there anyway. I get so sick I can't read in a car, but when we travel, Kate does quite well. She doesn't get sick at all, and she reads to me, so she's read books to me over the years too. But she will read chapters on some of our trips recently, or she'll turn off. I mean, I suppose half the time it's been where I'm actually picking up what's been printed on a given chapter and reading it. But I tell you, you know, it takes you, for me and for people who are with mother, it takes you to mother's feet very quickly. So immediately to her feet. And you remember so strongly being with her in the room and the feeling at the time. I remember myself, I was absolutely transfixed after listening to mother's talks on some of this stuff, which I don't remember being in the earlier months I was with her. But certainly that fall and the next year, I really realized this was gold. I really realized it was unusual and that it was something that had to be said and had to be written about. So, you know, for my own process, I just don't work that way. I don't, you know, set myself down to perform anything or to meditate or to do anything like that in preparation. Because my own experiences always have been shocks to me. They've always been something that have come to me. And I feel much like an observer. It's just been the way it's always been for me. And the work itself and working with this stuff is the realm that draws me in. And it's very accessible and very easy to do. But that's just a process. Everyone has their process. And I think I wouldn't, you know, Master and Mother both talked to David, talked about, you know, preparing yourself for everything. Certainly Mother did a lot of preparation for Korea. And that's really why for me, it's just been It just hasn't been the right time for me to think about Kriya. But I know that she talks about that a lot. She wanted people to fast, not eat meat before Kriya, and before Kriya initiation. And the process is different for everyone.
Larry,
I was just going to finish or follow up with it. Makes me think about the statement that the path makes you ready for the path, right?
You can't anticipate things here anyway. The path is so complex, and it's always, as Master always said so beautifully, ever new joy, but the new part for sure. Ever new is always the case. Joy is not always there for me, but it's certainly ever new. I mean, it is shocking. It's surprising. It is never the way you think it's going to be. It never seems like it. The reason for that is very simple, really. Our minds are set up for patterns that we already experience in the earth, and we're used to replaying patterns and all that. When you have a great brilliant truth from higher planes, it's all new. It's all new information. It's all new causal level and astral level experiments and things. And we can draw on that all the time. That's what saints do, is they become conduits for the higher planes. And so, and this is where I have great admiration for artists, because they think of too much as though they're just in the physical realm and there's a psychological aspect. But we our teachings are different, aren't they? And that we think that there's only the causal plane first, before you get any idea of the astral plane, and then the physical plane after that. So we are only looking at the tip of a whole bunch of thought and ideas and expressions. And so we should be able to just see fully formed things that are not even necessarily something we can own. I think this is why so many artists talk that way. They say this, I don't even know how I came up with that character or this painting or this vision. I don't know where it came from. And that's a common theme. These are great artists, of course. There's a difference between art and great art. We didn't have a very big picture of David for the altar. We need to have one of those. I think Carla might have one from the funeral. We should have one able to display when we do these things. I'm certainly feeling him now. I'm missing him. I've been enjoying the videos that we have of David from 2001 so much. We do his video, his talks alternately with mothers, and we've had this treasure trove of video talks of his now. So I think we've got enough for well into January, February, March maybe. David wrote a wonderful introduction to the mystical crucifixion that we haven't, I don't think Kate's even edited, even a spelling error on, You may have been involved in the earlier, but I don't know. It is just a gem. Now, do we have that anywhere on in the journal?
No, the, but no.
It will come out. And then Mother, so just, I think it's interesting that you guys know that what we're doing here. Mother wrote a letter to Hunke for the preface. So we create a preface or preamble to the book from a letter that Mother wrote, right? And I mean, it's wholly just that letter in which she explains her teachings. I mean, it is fantastic. It is beautiful. And then it's followed by David's wonderful introduction. So I tell you, just reading those two things will get you in the mood for, I'll get your mind prepared for what Mother's other higher teachings expressed in detail. So we've got chapters like The Dark Night of the Soul, but we have the Galilee, the circuit. Right? Yeah, that's right. Mother's experience with Ananda Shram. Chapter one is her whole experience with Master and how she got to where she was, and because it all starts with him. And so we felt that the first two chapters should be the two masters to do with what, how they prepared Mother, how Master prepared Mother, and how Papa got her through. And what she, and which one is
it? The baptism
of blood is what we titled it so far. These are all titles, and some people are going to be sent out review copies of the first few chapters. Some have already received some of the first three chapters that we've now taken one of those chapters out. So, we've asked for a review. Some people just say, oh, it's so nice, thanks for sending. And we've well, next time we do this, we'll ask for comments and criticisms if necessary, but at least any comments, and to try to get the next level. We'll probably have about five people in that. Oh. Oh, okay. I forgot. Yeah. So Kate's preparing a small booklet of the mother's preface and David's introduction, and that's all we're planning for mother's Mahasamadhi on January 31st. So we'll have a booklet for that. You can get a feeling for it. All right. Why don't we close with we'll do the closing prayer after the music. I think we'll listen to, and these are Ave Maria was one, a song that Mother often played at the beginning of service. She would always come in and give an opening prayer, and we would sit for a few minutes and meditate while music was played. So this is the version that we used to listen to. Thank you. Let's all say the closing prayer together. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. Peaceless. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. You're sure being quiet, or maybe it's because you're all muted.
Merry Christmas, Larry.
Merry Christmas, Larry.
Merry Christmas.
And Kate, too.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Larry. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you, Larry.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You, Kate and Larry, Merry Christmas.
So nice to see Barbara.
She said,
hi, Barbara. I love you. I miss you. So nice to see everybody.
Mm-hmm. Fun for the potluck.
That's the difference, isn't it? That's so nice.
My mom would be first in line.
First, more sadhana. I have to go to work today.
And thank you, Phyllis, for putting your video on, because I wanted to see what you look like. It's so nice to see everybody. You know, because I haven't seen people for a very long time.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Lovely to see everybody.
It's our ever new joy to see everyone.
We need to get the technology so the camera is right in the middle of the screen, don't we? Because it's frustrating to have to go back and forth. It's easier when they put the camera right on top of my screen. Maybe that's what I should do too, but maybe one on the altar first and foremost. Always wondered about people who come to this house. I think it's been maybe two people over the years who comment on these gigantic pictures in our room. You'd think that they would comment. I know I would.
Larry, would you be willing to send out a link for that version of Silent Night that you played?
No, Kate and I are both saying that too. We just happened to find it. Very nice. Very nice.
I love that version.
The soprano at the end was simply angelic, wasn't it? I mean, that was beautiful. There's something about a boy's voice, maybe because it's only got so many more years left of it. It makes it special, doesn't it? The soprano voice. I was a soprano in the seminary and sang soprano, but nothing like that. But we did have one a boy, I think he became a priest. His name was Mike Malone. He had a voice like that, honestly. He was the star in every single function that the choir did. Because Father Daniker would always put him at least one thing where he could do it. Not a solo, but where he would do something like that. It's quite a beautiful thing.
The very last verse where they...
Yeah.
Oh, it's just exquisite.
Well, and the words in that last verse are so elevating.
Yeah, and then the voices were way up, you know, they were elevated too in the, it's just, I've been needing that Silent Night.
I'd love to know people who were with Mother, if that Ave Maria is what matches your memory as well. It's yours. Anybody else?
Because there was a choir part that came in at the very end. It wasn't just the tenors singing it. The choir came in. You probably can find it in some of the mother's talks, find out where they have the audio. But we just didn't know who was the artist, and so we weren't able to find it. So
the intro music is correct. So the orchestra...
But it's the same Schubert.
It's arranged in a similar...
I think that's Pavarotti.
That's Pavarotti, yeah. Which is hard to beat that. And that was his voice really at his best in this. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was really lovely to hear him.
So we have Master's Light Exercise.
Larry just put some new music up on the website.
Oh, yeah. I put that up on the website, too. It's in the... where is it at? Devotional music. If you go to talks and music on the right, then you get to there's another tab you can go into that says devotional music. There's some new stuff up on top there. And if anyone can find music, they can send me of the when she was alive, things that she had and liked. I'd sure appreciate it. We have CPs, which everyone remembers. It's the violin and the harp playing. We found that. Master's Light Exercise is quite delightful. I mean, it's quite really moving. I'm looking for a better, I didn't find out that you can get a better sound. The orchestra can be improved on, because that's always had the kind of a bad recording maybe even in his day, but it's got the tape got stretched. The man's voice is wonderful. Please sit upright. And I love that.
Where is the Master's Light exercise? Is that on the website?
Yeah, if you go to devotional, you go to Talks Music and whatever it is, Talks of Music, and then on that page you'll see a thing called devotional music. And you can click on that. Also, if you go to What's New, most of the things that I put up there that are new are put on the What's New page as well.
You have a day job?
Do I ever? I have two jobs now. You know, I've always felt that David got me this job at Blue Origin. And well, it's kind of funny that it happened right when we're ready to start this book work and kind of follow on Kate, who's the one who would do most of the editing anyway. But odd timing.
You guys are doing such a great job. Thank you so much, all of you. Really appreciate all the work that you're doing.
You know, when you're asleep,
I second that.
You don't have much choice in it. Papa always calling himself Ram's Das, means Ram's slave. We wouldn't want to be anyplace else anyway. So it's. But thank you.
I'll triple that appreciation.
Well, Jerry did all the early work on the website. This whole thing constructed by Jerry.
Those were days of innocence in the internet world.
Yeah.
Things have gotten a lot messier since out there.
Yeah, it's kind of become its own world. And as usual, it's the good and the bad, both. Yeah.
Jerry, you showed us what was possible with it, though. You helped David's vision of the website come to fruition. And I know how much that means to him.
Yeah, all that really works.
You
still can call at least once a year, twice a year for some thorny problem.
Yeah, you can still see what that old internet or website looked like on the Internet Archives.
Oh, I bet.
Makes me chuckle, but because like it really was an early time in how we put web pages together. Things have gotten much more sophisticated since then. It's beyond me, actually.
Well, you know, this Zoom is really a marvel, and I'm so grateful for
yep.
this technology. It's really wonderful for this COVID time, for sure.
And this company really did well for, especially for these times, everybody in lockdown.
Yeah, so many people you feel for them are left completely alone without even this kind of technology. I think, you know, the third world has really been decimated by it. It's hard to watch.
Bye, Brianna.
Bye, Brianna.
Rebecca and Brianna.
I'm unmuted now. And can you hear me all right? Because I didn't... Okay, I'm in the computer room now, and I didn't want to interfere with Larry's speaker there. We've been in touch with Kathy Smith's daughter, and Kathy's been kind of a victim of this COVID time, and so it's caused her, because of increased isolation, she's gone into more dementia. So I wanted to ask for prayers for her. So if you can all think about her, I have her address now. So if you'd like to contact her, she isn't being able to be contacted by phone, and she may not know who you are anyways, but she does have, you know, like all dementia, she kind of goes in and out. And another person just shared with us yesterday, so I think that we can, those of you who remember Jerry Winninghoff, I was in touch with his daughter, and she said that maybe the next time the group's together, they can all send prayers for Jerry. He has Alzheimer's. So if you could keep him in your prayers as well. That's two people we've been asked about lately. So. She says that he is still at the place, though, where he talks about Mother, and he spontaneously will go into a prayer from the group and start saying the prayer, and has lots of memories. And she said, I know that if he was well, he'd be joining with all of you. And so he does have a wife looking after him, though, so that's good. He's not in a home.
I'm going to say goodbye because I have to go get ready for more sadhana. Work.
Merry Christmas. See you next time.
Thank you, Larry. Love you guys.
I'm going to go too. I might explode from all this bliss. I love you guys. I think of you all the time. I hold you all in my heart and wish you the very best Christmas. Look forward to the next time.
Adios. And John.
Adios. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Feliz Navidad.
Adiós, Merry Christmas to everyone.
Adiós, we're leaving too. It's Angelo's birthday today. We're going to do some birthday things. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy birthday.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Adiós. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Nice to have you here.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Kat. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
When are you giving out God realization, Larry?
You only give what you have. Yeah, Mother always brought up that belief that we all kind of have, which is people think someone's going to touch them on the shoulder and give them God realization. And she said, it's not that way. But at the same time, we all hear stories. We read books. And there are many saints who it looks as though that's exactly what did happen. So we can be forgiven for hoping. I mean, Meher Baba's story. Amazing. But he went through a great deal of pain afterwards. But he was kissed on the forehead by a woman saint. And I think 17, 18 years old, pretty young, 16, 17. And it completely changed his life at that moment on. And then, of course, Ramana Maharshi is another unusual case.
It seems that usually the answer is I could do that, but it would burn you into a crisp.
Yeah. And as Papa said, are you in the state that Ramana Maharshi was in when that happened? Or Meher Baba? Yeah, were you in that state? Yeah. Then it can happen.
But see, so much is unknown. I mean, Meher Baba had no notion that he was a saint. He was basically an avatar. Fully realized before he came here. So we all can kind of hope there's more in our bank than we know about.
Under the mattress.
I like the story of Ramdas with Ramana Maharshi just looking at him, didn't even say anything to him.
Yeah. And by the way, Ramana Maharshi was listening to some of his disciples talking about whether it was necessary to have a guru, and they were one was insisting that he didn't, you don't need a guru. And he says, look at Ramana Maharshi, he didn't have a guru. And Ramana Maharshi says, how do you know? Meaning, I think even he didn't know. He could have been just met a teacher, a sadguru, and walking along. One of Kate's fondest memories is thinking that she may have seen Mother at the expo in what year? I forget. In
67.
Yeah. She could have walked right by and brushed against her. And of course, we do. I live at the World Fair, and a lot of you probably were. And
Lorraine was there too.
Yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm. And another devotee from that area. She came by and picked us all up.
She did a sweep through, and she wanted to look at. She goes up to Alaska at the end of the theater. I mean, of all the people up there, I don't know why she chose him, but. He was the one who...
Larry, we're getting echo somehow from you.
Okay.
I turn.
It might be Kate's door's opening.
Yeah, you have to close the door.
I turned my speaker off so that I wouldn't get that feedback. That's funny. Okay.
I appreciate your theme in the talk, Larry, that we can sort of just be where we are and take each day. That always helps me not think too far ahead and melt myself down.
It's a hard practice. It's like keeping your mind on God. It's very similar to that, isn't it? It is just to live in now and just deal with what's in front of us each day and to not worry about God's plan so much. Yeah, I agree.
It's also the most freeing.
Yeah, it really is. Hard to give up these agendas, but when you get rid of them, you realize, man, I was holding on to that too long anyway. Well, do we know what's best for us? I don't think so.
Yes, we do. Keep your mind on God.
Now, being part of the world is really, we have a lot to give the world, but we have a lot to learn from the world and to get from the world. And any interaction is definitely, you know, if we didn't have to work, a lot of us wouldn't. And I'm not sure that would be a good thing. You know, again, it's obvious, but it's not necessarily a good thing. It depends on each person. Some people handle it well, and most don't. Most don't handle it well. We need to feel wanted and needed. We need to have something to do.
And that idea of something to push against. You know, we get the momentum from having something to push against.
I just don't think there's a better analogy than that butterfly analogy, you know, coming out of the chrysalis. It's a moth turning into a butterfly, or a caterpillar, sorry, turning into a butterfly. That and I think chicks and eggs are also you know, they cut the chrysalis apart to make it easier for the butterfly, and it ends up with stunted wings. And the struggle is part of the, is a necessary part of growth. Hari Om. I guess we should do this at
Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Larry.
Are we planning that for New Year's?
I think we should plan this for New Year's.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
More than, I think so, urgently so. I can't imagine spending New Year's Eve in any other way.
Exactly.
The one beauty of this is everyone from far and near was able to come.
That's true.
And at New Year's, people could cycle in and out as their time allows as well.
It is interesting to see people coming in with their iPhones and their Android devices, everything. Like, you don't really need a computer.
Rebecca, you're muted, sweetie.
Just hold the space bar down, Rebecca. The space bar.
If you push the space bar on your keyboard and hold it down like the olden days on a dictaphone.
Oh, Rebecca's trying to talk, but she can't get the mute.
Larry, can you unmute her?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think so. Can you do it, Jill? This is you're the host for this. It might be something you can do.
Larry, I made you the host.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I don't see that as an option. It's too bad.
You can request to unmute her. You can push on her picture, and then it may be easier.
Yeah, I said ask to unmute, but nothing's happening when I'm doing it. I can't actually go in and do that. That's interesting.
Yeah, they've stopped allowing you to do that.
Is that right?
Good to go, Rebecca.
Now your mute is off.
Well, because I hit something and it worked, I guess.
You can hear
now. Now we can hear.
Well, because I was so upset for a while because all of a sudden my email didn't work anymore and I was afraid I was going to miss everything. And I sat at my little desk and I was crying. I just asked all the masters to help me because I knew nothing about technology. And I don't know how it all disappeared and all of a sudden, And Brianna said, just give Scott and I your computer. I thought, well, that's scary. And I did. And they came back and they said they fixed it. And then I thought maybe it was Larry that had fixed it. You know, just spiritually, he just did it, because he's so good at that. And then I thought, it seems like I was feeling like I was going to have to go to a different country because I didn't have any more identity. And then I realized I could still be Rebecca Barno and I didn't have to go to a foreign country and one of those people that, I was really glad to be able to come today. And even though I don't know about technology, I still was able to appreciate all the seeing everyone here. Yeah. And the choir was more hard for me, but this has been beautiful. And I really appreciate all of it. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Go to her.
And Gerald, it's good to see you there in black and white.
Hi, Gerald. Why aren't you showing yourself?
Sans serif font is what you are, Gerald. All right. Adios.
Howdy, Om. Merry Christmas, all.
Hi.
And double that.
Take this, I'm going to leave. Thank you so much.